God truly blesses us with more than what we need and more than what we deserve.
And now for a taste of goodness.
I'm just going to sit down for the start of this message. I actually wanted to talk about something a bit different than the topic of my message to start out. And it was something that was going through my mind as I was driving here, actually. Over the last few days, I had experienced something that was an unnatural fearlessness. It wasn't courage because there was no fear, but I was afraid of nothing. And in this period, I had heard a quote by, I'm not actually positive what his name was, but I know his first name was Franklin and he was a president. It was, there is nothing to fear but fear itself. And in this time of fearlessness, I didn't understand it one bit. And it was only once I was riding here, and I think it's safe to say that I've given sermons at least 100 times, and I experienced fear. I had prepared for this message. I had been preparing for it so that I wouldn't experience fear, that this wouldn't be impromptu, that I would be very ready to give this sermon, yet I experienced fear. And then the quote came back to my mind, there is nothing to fear but fear itself. And I realized what my reaction to this fear was. Should I even do this? I had prepared this sermon, and I'm over here questioning. Even though I'm already ready, should I even do this? Fear is something weird, man. You could be an NBA player trained all your life, and you miss an uncontested layup because LeBron is approaching you. Fear will make you forget everything you have learned. There is truly nothing to fear but fear itself and God. That is the one exception. God is also to fear along with fear itself. Because if God is with you, who can be against you? So that's just the preface that I wanted to mention. As I was riding here, I experienced fear again. And that fear nearly threw me off my whole game. But it was for purpose. God has methods to what some may interpret as madness. The fear that I experienced wasn't in vain, because the fear that I experienced allowed for me to have an introduction that I didn't plan for. The rest of the message I did, but this I did not. So now I'm going to stand. I just wanted to sit for the introduction. And this message is actually a part two. Last month, I spoke about just a taste. Just a taste of sin. The taste of death is sweet, but it turns rotten before it even reaches your stomach. Today I'm here to tell you about a taste of goodness. Because where there is a bitter taste, there is a sweet one. Where there is nourishment, well, there is malnourishment. So I'm here to tell you about the good things, you know, the gifts of God, the blessings that God bestows upon us. Even the good things such as me experiencing that fear so that I could start out the message like that. God is truly interesting in his ways. And the first thing that I would like to say is simply a recap about last month. And it is simply that you don't just do it one time. As Ms. Bronner had stated in the introduction, the spoken word, it's never just one time, but the biggest temptation is getting you to think that. If you think that you're just going to eat something unhealthy one time, then you'll indulge in it. Because it's like, well, what's a few extra calories? What's a day off? What's a day missed? And then you miss another, and another, you eat another, and another. I am to blame for this. Yesterday, my brother brought home a pizza that was as thick as a pie. And it simply looked tasty. I was thinking, you know what, I'm not going to even get a full slice, I'm going to get a half a slice. And then he ordered it again today. And can you guess what I did? I asked to get another slice. It is never just one time. And it is the same way with bad taste and good taste. Because once you experience Christ, it just changes you. I thought of a dozen different ways to deliver how good God is. And that's the beauty. There's so many ways, an insurmountable amount of ways. It can't be counted how many ways to talk about how good God is. But I'm here to tell you one of them today. And another thing that came to my mind was, God is always with us, but are we with God? By our actions, are we with God? Because, you know, if you're not with Christ, you're against Christ. So are we with God? Are we living in sin? Are we living in a pseudo-comfort? Or are we living with God? And an argument that I had heard for why somebody turned away from Christianity was because they found something else and it just gave them more comfort. They interpreted God as an entity that will only provide them with happiness and comfort, and nothing bad can happen to them. See, the Holy Spirit is our comforter, but it's not comfort as you may think. It's not a comfort as relaxation. You can be cuddled under a blanket because the Holy Spirit's got it. It's not comfort in the sense of you get fearful and you decide, I'm going to take a step back and not do this. But the Holy Spirit is my comforter, so it'll be taken care of. It's a comfort in a sense of the Holy Spirit will provide what you need to get through. The question is, will you get through? Because you'll have the tools, but will you use them? He'll provide you with the means to get it done, but will you do it? That is the question. The Holy Spirit is our comforter and will always provide, will never leave us hanging, but we still got to do the work. Another thing that I had heard when I was listening to a video that my dad sent me, and a man had stated a quote that was just powerful. He said, if you want God to handle the super, you have to handle the natural. If you want God to handle the super, you've got to handle the natural. Many times in the Bible, the Old Testament, whenever an individual was to be healed, the healing didn't just come, they had to do something. The healing did not just come, they had to do something. Terms had to be met. I was listening to Exodus yesterday, and I heard something that just sounded extreme. It was like, you have to eat only unleavened bread for like 10 days, right? And if you didn't do that, not only would you be cut out of Israel's blessing, this is a rough quote, a rough interpretation, but even your soul would too. All you had to do was only eat unleavened bread. You couldn't eat leavened bread, but if you did, not only you, but your soul would be removed. Whether you are an Israelite or just an individual in the nation. And God will handle the super. He'll deliver you out of Egypt, but you got to handle the natural. And sometimes it's simple things. You can say it with me. Sometimes it is simple things. We don't even have to do very much, yet we don't do it anyway. That comfort is something serious. I mean, you just get into bed for a minute, you close your eyes, you doze off, and then an hour's passed and you're behind. Because that comfort is truly something serious. It feels so good in the moment. You think about, well, what about now? Everything later, well, later's not even here now, so I'll just worry about it then. What about what this costs? Well, I can afford it, so I might as well pay it. There's many tricks and deceptions in temptation. The thing is, temptation's not sinful. But you know where the sin comes in? The sin comes in with indulgence. Because we will be tempted. There is no question about that. I don't remember what the verse was as well, but I think it was something about individuals that endured temptation would be blessed with 100 times more, or individuals that suffered persecution for righteousness' sake would be blessed 100 times more. God never said it was going to be a walk in the park. God never said he was going to just hand us a piece of cake and it would be all right. We got to do something. And many times we really don't even have to do a lot, because all of the things we've done in the past are now in the past. If you suffered in the past for the sake of God, you are blessed now. If you decided that you were going to pleasure yourself in the past so that you could be comfortable then, where are you now? Whenever we indulge in that piece of pie that's as big as a pizza, and then later our stomachs are aching because we decided to enjoy ourselves then, it doesn't seem worth it. And the reason is simple. It's because it's not. God does not give us what we deserve. We could do a little and receive a mountain full. We could tithe 10% and receive 30-fold back. But if we don't tithe at all, then that's just zero. I mean, zero times 30 is still zero. God truly blesses us with more than what we need and more than what we deserve. On God Heals, I was giving an introduction. And I was talking about, you know, God will give even when he takes away. And then I proceeded to give the example. A father takes away a little girl's teddy bear, a handheld teddy bear. And then the next day, he comes back and gives her a teddy bear that is larger than her. God will sometimes take things away from us. Things that we cherish, things that we have memories with. And then he'll give us something else that's bigger than us. He'll provide us with something that is quite literally larger than life. Because God is just like that. But there is the important thing to keep in mind. That where there is blessing, you've got to sow first. Because a seed does not grow if you don't plant it. So you got to work. If you want God to handle the super, you've got to handle the natural. So that's really the purpose of my message today. I'm here to tell you how good God is. But that is when you are obedient. Because the wine cup of wrath, God's wine cup of wrath floweth over. And I personally don't want to drink from it. Because just as good as God is, God can do some serious damage. Whenever Pharaoh's heart was hardened, there were some plagues sent upon them. There were many lives lost, even livestock. I mean, they're not the ones that were sinning against God, but God is something serious. And all Pharaoh would have had to have done was let them go. And even in the end, when he let them go, he chased after them, and that led to his demise. Even if it's not pleasure, we just want to get vengeance or something like that. That even turns on us. Why? Because vengeance is the Lord's. When we try and take it into our own hands, it can really backfire on us. So that's all I'm here to tell you today, is God is truly good, and he will bring you through just like he said he would. But you have to take care of the natural if you want God to take care of the super. Thank you.
You are listening to brothersoftheword.com. This was the message titled, A Taste of Goodness, by George Bronner. This message is number 4085. That's 4085. To listen to thousands of free messages or to send this message number 4085 to a friend, go to brothersoftheword.com.
If this message has been a blessing to you and you would like to help support this ministry, go to iwanttogive.com. That's iwanttogive.com.
Listen to brothersoftheword.com often, because brother, you need the word.
From brothers of the word.